Let me read you this. I read a portion of this morning. Now, I don't want you to stand up, even though we usually stand for the reading of the Scriptures. I'm going to have you sit where you are, and you can see me better. Everybody can see better. The Lord didn't make everybody the same size, did He? I could have Terry Long and Lonnie Green stand out in the aisle, and you'd find out. The Lord didn't make everybody the same size. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I read a scripture this morning that I want to come back and let me borrow a portion of that again in the book of Galatians. We had a blast in the sanctuary this morning. I enjoyed it so very much. Let me kind of take off from the last scripture that I read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now, we're talking about the law of God, the Levitical Mosaic law, sacrifices and ordinances and feast days and customs and all these kind of things. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Would the church say amen? Amen. Then he said in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4, 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although, now here it is, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Just like God, verse 4. For he spake in a certain place a seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached did not enter in, not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There remains, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest of the people of God. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same manner of unbelief. Would the church say amen? Hallelujah. Let us come boldly, verse 16. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. There is another scripture, and I was looking hard, may not put my finger on it, that he said, any man who has entered into his rest has ceased from his own labors, own works. Hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. My objective. Somebody's shouting. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we have visitors tonight, that you should have a problem with a small baby, we do have a nursery, and those ladies back there will help you. They have all the facilities and the equipment, everything to help. And we certainly invite you to take advantage of that. And they'll help you and even let you come back in church so you won't have to struggle with a small one. And they have a right to do what they're doing. That's the only way they know how to say what they want to say. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands one more time and give the Lord a hand clap offering. Hallelujah. But I had a certain point in mind this morning that I wanted to accomplish in this service, and that was that I wanted to convince you how easy it was to receive what God wants you to have. That you don't have to be a long-time searcher and seeker for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that receiving the Holy Ghost is so easy that it's amazing. It is so easy that sometimes we overlook it. There is no complication about receiving the Holy Ghost. We're the only obstacle that gets all that stuff messed up. Because Jesus Himself paid the price, became the eternal sacrifice that He may purchase that privilege and opportunity for you, and it's already paid for. Hallelujah. The baptism of the power or the infilling of the Holy Ghost can fall on you easily and simply right there where you're sitting tonight. Why don't we have a good old genuine Holy Ghost service tonight, where those of you who are backslid, are you are just not in the place with God you need to be, let's have a baptizing of renewing in the Holy Ghost tonight. All right? Then let's see some people tonight that have never received the Holy Ghost in their lives. Let's share with them and witness with them a brand new experience in their lives. Hallelujah. It is easy. I said this morning in the church service, Paul to the Galatian church said, I do not frustrate the grace of Jesus Christ or the grace of God. I do not. I will not frustrate. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Hallelujah. God does not have any problem doing what He said He was going to do, except the problems that He has with you and I. Praise God. Let me talk a little bit about Hebrews to start with. Go back. Let me just one more time. Let me just borrow a little portion of that. And I want you to help me preach for a few minutes tonight. Hallelujah. Isn't God great? Therefore, He said, let us therefore fear, lest the promise of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Israel missed it. They missed it. Understand, I don't think that it took God 6 days, 24 hours a day, to create heaven and earth. I don't think the Lord needed that time. I don't think He needed 6 24-hour periods to do it. I think He did it just simply that He may set an example for us, that He may teach us of His operations, of the mere fact that He is an organizer, a planner. He knows how to do things and do it well. Hallelujah. Then, after the creation of all things as we now understand it in 6 days, then the Lord Himself set aside the seventh day as a day of rest. He did not rest because He was tired or weary or wore out. I don't care if those days were prophetically 1,000 years long or a sabbatical 1,000 years long. It really doesn't matter. He still wasn't tired. All He was doing when He created the heaven and the earth in the first few verses of Genesis in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day, He was merely trying somehow to help you understand that He was establishing a rest for you. A rest. A rest. We know what rest is. When you work all day long and you go home, or whatever you do all day long, if you're already home, it is a good feeling every once in a while to kick your shoes off, rear back in a lazy boy recliner, kick your feet up, whatever you do, whatever you like to do, and just sit there and warn anybody with a snarl, don't bother me, I've earned it. Hallelujah. We can relate to rest, rest, rest. And God was somehow trying to help you understand there is a place in relationship to Him that you can enter into rest. Hallelujah. He didn't have to work to create. He created everything by His Word, by the moving of His Spirit. But everything that we see, everything that we know, was created by God Himself. God alone. Hallelujah. Now, He is somehow trying to help you understand that when men work and labor, there is always a time of rest. A time of rest. It has been established since the beginning of time. I also understand that seventh day number seven, also represents and is a prophetic illustration of the millennial reign of 1,000 years. I believe that. Hallelujah. Now, Paul said, let us therefore labor that we may enter into that rest. You know what rest is? You know what labor is? Labor. Labor. Strain. Groan. Shove. Push. Work. Get after it. Whatever it takes. We're talking about labor. Let us therefore labor that we may enter into that rest. Then Paul goes on to say, and any man that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. Hallelujah! What he is saying to us, when we desire to have an audience with God, we put forth an effort, our display of physical works. Everybody look at me and help me preach a little bit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We put forth an effort of works. We get on our knees and say, oh God, we need a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. I want You to forgive me, Lord, when I let You down. I want You, God, tonight to heal this person of that person. Mighty God, I want You tonight to fill a hungry, desperate soul with the power of the Holy Ghost. You can take it for what it's worth. That is an act of works. Works. Hallelujah. When I lift my hands and I worship God with all of my might, that is an act of works. When I sing my song, when we play our music, when we give God praise and glory, we are putting forth an act of labor, physical labor. But somewhere along the line, all of a sudden, we don't even know when it takes place. All of a sudden, there is a breath. There is a silent wind that sweeps into the place where the people of God are. And you don't have to wave your hands anymore. You don't have to clap your hands anymore. We do all of that, but I'm telling you, there is a place of rest. Hallelujah. I can't heal you when you're sick. I can't save you when you're lost. I can't solve your problems. I cannot fill your needs. But God can. Take it to Jesus. He'll make everything all right. Oh, hallelujah. I want to say to the entire church family tonight, as I said this morning, I thank God that we have discovered the truth and revelation of God's will. That we do not have to pound on heaven's door. We don't have to wait 6 months or a year, 3 months or a month or a week or a day or an hour. When you make up your mind that you want God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, it's as simple as asking. But you don't understand, Brother Shirty. You don't know the kind of sinner I have been. You don't know the life that I have lived. I don't care what kind of life you've lived. We've got some people sitting here tonight that have lived as bad as you've ever dared to live. There are some people in this assembly tonight that have lived to the lowest. Somebody say amen. Amen. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And this promise was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Hallelujah. Ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Praise God. Praise God. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. You don't have enough money to pay for it. You can't beg for it. He don't want you to beg for it.
You don't have to wait on it. I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost has set the stage in this place tonight, and it is easy. We have entered a chamber and a sanctuary of rest. Of rest. Of rest. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it like this, and this church family knows that I don't address personalities very often. Hardly ever, if ever. But I say this tonight. Brother Joel Hemphill, God don't even like to start working until it's impossible. He don't even like to get involved until it's out of everybody else's hands. He don't even like to commit himself until we reach a dead end. Hallelujah! Praise God that the promise made to Abraham might be passed on to us through the man Jesus Christ, that we may be heirs of the promises of God. All I'm trying to talk to you about is the fact that receiving the Holy Ghost is easy. Hallelujah. Getting a renewing in the Holy Ghost is easy. It is the devil that condemns. Hallelujah. I told the church Wednesday night, in fact, I said a bunch of things Wednesday night. And I want to talk a little bit about Revelation, if God will allow me, and the mere fact that when Israel was blessed of God, when the church is blessed of God, Satan is always there to condemn. He is always there to accuse. But I'm telling you, that character, he is one of the most low-down, dirty, insignificant, worthless, helpless, powerless characters that you could ever even imagine. He is so low down, that character, the devil himself, backslid when there wasn't even a devil. Hallelujah! Praise God! And he thinks he's going to talk you and I into backsliding or somehow believing that God can't do what he said. You better believe God can do what he said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me explain to you now again. And I know I'm backtracking on a lot of stuff, but I need to say it. The Lord called Abraham out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your seed like the sand of the seashore, like the stars of heaven. Come on, Abraham. Come out of here. And I'm going to bless you. By faith he went out, not knowing where he was going. But he believed God. 75 years old. And his wife, something like 65 years old. Pretty nice young couple at 75 and 65. No kids. They didn't have any children. If you please. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you children like the sand and the stars. The Bible said Abraham was dead. His ability to sire a child was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. She was past childbearing. You think you've got problems? You think you're in trouble? You think you've lived such a rotten, low-down life? That's when God likes to get involved. That's when he likes to show up and say, let me do it. Give it to me a little while. Just turn it over to me. I know how to take care of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Abraham, God's going to give you and Sarah a child. Yes, Lord. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't say, now wait a minute, God. I'm 75 years old and my wife is 65. Praise God. I don't know what couple we've got in here that's 75 and 65 to even try to... I don't guess we've even got one. Hallelujah. But yes, God. And his faith was counted to him for righteousness. Yes, God. I'm going to give you and Sarah a child. Yes, God. So they went along with that promise for a while. And after a while it appeared that it just wasn't going to take place. He wasn't going to have the revival in Abraham's house. He was not going to have the move of God that he thought he was going to have and the Lord said he was going to have. Now he still believed God, but he thought he would just help God out a little bit. So he and Sarah got together and decided that they would have Hagar serve as a type of surrogate mother. Now I made that statement this morning and I asked somebody later, I said, do you know what a surrogate mother is? And they said no. And I don't want to leave you in the dark. A surrogate mother is one who is willing to give birth to another man's child when that man's wife cannot give birth. Hallelujah. If a man is married to a woman and she cannot conceive or bear a child, they have a legal thing anymore that a couple can choose another woman and the seed of a man can be implanted. You boys listen to me, and I'm tired of y'all laughing, okay? I want you to look at me. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what I'm saying. Praise God. But you see, if a wife couldn't bear a child, then the Bible said, that, or then our laws say that they can use another woman as a surrogate mother. So they used Hagar instead of Sarah, and Ishmael was born. And when Ishmael was born, God said, I don't need that kind of help. Ishmael's not the one. It's going to be you and Sarah. So 25 years go by. Abraham is now 100 years old. Sarah is now about 90. Most people at 100 years old and 90 are pretty well wrinkled up. I don't know what may have happened to them back in those days. Maybe they had a whole different atmosphere and didn't look like we look when we get 90 and 100. But can you imagine the angel showing up and said, Abraham, you remember what God said? He's going to give you a son. Yes, Lord. Well, it's fixing to come to pass. 9 months from now, Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah's like, me? But you see, God don't even, He doesn't even like to get involved until it becomes impossible. He doesn't even like to start until you've reached your dead end. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for that place that we enter into the rest of God, into God's rest, and He does it. He does it. Hallelujah. Now, understand, Abraham had come to a place in his life that it just didn't look like he was going to have any family. But the Lord said, Abraham, you need an heir. You need a son that will be heir to your wealth and to your possessions. And along comes Paul, and he says, God made a promise to Abraham that He's going to pass on to us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you again, when the day comes and God Himself, through His own wife, through His own bride, Revelation said He saw a wonder, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon about her feet, crowned with a crown of 12 stars. Israel! Israel! Mary, who was a Jew and a Hebrew, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. God bypassed the law of nature. He bypassed His own creative law. He Himself, by His Spirit, overshadowed that girl. And she received birth. And a son was born. Jesus Christ, born of an earthly mother, without a physical earthly father. God is saying, I don't need any help. I can do it like I intend to do it. I am not going to challenge Him. I'm not going to contend with Him. What He said He can do, He is able to perform. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus came. Remember now what the Bible said. In the beginning, the woman that was expecting the child, and Satan came to destroy the child. But when the child was born, he was received up into the presence of God. After the child was born, Israel gave birth. Jesus came, gave His life as a supreme sacrifice, entered back into heaven to His own throne. Then the church fled into the wilderness, where it was tormented by Satan day and night until God comes back to take the church out of this world. Hallelujah. I said this morning, and I'm going to tell you tonight, God does not need a surrogate mother. Hallelujah. God does not need a surrogate mother. He's going to cause people like Keith and dozens of others here tonight to be born through the church. He doesn't need any help. Receiving the Holy Ghost is an easy process. It's already paid for. It is your promise. It is the plan of God. Hallelujah. God planned that this promise would come to you and I through Abraham by faith. The power of that promise would be yours to receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I said probably what I need to do tonight, just stop and talk to you. I believe God's ready to fill some people with the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. Praise God. Brother Shelton, play for me. I don't know how long I'll have you standing up there, but I want you to play for me. Right where you're sitting in your seat, or the seat where you're sitting if you should stand. Standing before this altar in the prayer room here in the baptistry. It is as easy for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as it is for you to open your mouth and speak. I don't care how far in sin you have gone, what kind of life you have lived. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he exhort and testify by saying, save yourselves from this underworld generation. Hallelujah. There is enough power of God in this place tonight to save thousands. There's enough anointing in this place tonight to heal any disease and to deliver any person from any kind of trouble. I still feel that I haven't really accomplished what I'm trying to say. I really haven't got the point clear that receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a very easy, simple experience. When you repent and you are baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, the Holy Ghost is a promise to you. Let me bear on that. Let me hang on that just for a moment. God is able to do what He said He would do. He gives us propositions for recovery. When God tells us He will do something, we have to believe that. He said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. He means exactly what He said. When you have repented of your sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you worship God, when you open your mouth to give God praise, He will fill it with a message and with a language that you yourself don't even understand. He will baptize you with a joy and a peace and a power that you have never experienced in your life before. He will do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to sing a chorus. Now, somebody told me today they wanted me to quit clock watching. Most of you know we don't usually have any problem preaching around here. Spirit of God is so present and so powerful. I don't even know that I'm even supposed to preach tonight. I don't even feel like preaching really. I just believe there's some people here who want to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment, sing a little chorus, and let's feel after the Lord before I begin to work with some people that need the Holy Ghost. Could you do that? Hallelujah.
Listen, somebody's coming. Oh.
But what they did not know, there was a promise coming down their dusty road. And there's a promise coming down your dusty road.
Coming down, down, down.
From your hands, healing but you know. Nicodemus, he said, you've got to be born again. Lord, I don't understand that. How can a man be born after he's already been born? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is a man must be born of the water and of the Spirit. A man must be born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at me, Jesus said. Look at me. You see me now, but you won't see me long, because I'm leaving here. And when I leave here, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come back to you. You see me now as a man, but I'm coming back to you in a spirit, in the power and glory of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! No wonder Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Oh, come on! You can be born again. You can be born again. You can be born again. Sing a little bit more.
Well, there's promise coming out your dusty road. Yes, bring me for your hands, healing my true hope. Jesus holds the key to what you need. Heaven and hell, He will be. There's a promise coming down your dusty road. Yeah, there's a promise coming down your dusty road.
Oh,
and the promise has healing virtue flow. Jesus holds the key to what you need.
He just likes to show up when everything else can't work.
For the multitude, and he told them all to go home. They heard him say, "Thank you."
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The stage is set and the atmosphere has been all set. The anointing has been poured out. Now is the time for you to receive what God has said you can have and what He can do. Why don't you allow God to fill you with the power and glory of the Holy Ghost? Daughter, you're almost drunk under the Holy Ghost right now. Why don't you just go ahead and talk in tongues? Open your mouth and say it in Jesus' name. Woo! There's a
promise.
Yeah! People in this place tonight who need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to let them sing that chorus one more time. If you're ready for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask you to come right now. Teenagers, young people, parents, grandparents, whoever you are tonight, I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost is yours tonight as a promised gift. Will you come now? I'm waiting on you right now. Will you allow God to do in your life what He wants to do tonight? Don't wait any longer. Now is your time. Sing it out loud one more time. Hallelujah.
Let's promise coming down your dusty
road. Oh, hallelujah. People in this place tonight who need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there are people here tonight who need a renewing in the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you to come. God is going to do it for you tonight. Cast aside your pride for a few minutes. Open your heart and let God speak to you about His promise in your life. Hallelujah. I'm going to have them sing just a little bit more. I want some people to come here tonight that are going to help us pray. Will you do that together? Come here tonight. All of you that will. Come here, intercessors. Come here, prayer warriors. Sing a little bit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.